Well, welcome everybody. We welcome you no matter if you're at any campus today, online, live stream, watching on podcast. We're glad that you're part of our faith family today. And we've been praising the Lord. Now we want to hear from God in His Word. If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll get there in just a minute. It may take you a second to find it. So I want to make sure you have ample time to do that. We're starting a sermon series, 3 weeks, on grateful. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is almost here, and after that it'll be Christmas and then another year. But Thanksgiving is among us, and we have so much for which to give thanks. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to focus on how to have a grateful heart. Now, among the many things that we can give thanks for today, man, I am thankful for the men and women who have served our country through military service and who have been a part and who are now veterans of that. So at every campus, if you're one of our veterans, would you hear us say thank you for your service? And at all of our campuses, can we just thank those men and women who have served our family? America is not a perfect place, but it's the best place on earth to live. And God has given us a place where we're free to worship and to gather today. And we thank those who have given their lives and their time to make that so. We're so abundantly blessed that it's easy to take being grateful for granted. Sometimes as our life circumstances begin to either unravel or as you move through transitions of life, it can be challenging to find things for which to be grateful. And yet, we can always find something for which to be grateful. I heard about these four old senior adult guys who were playing golf. They played golf all the time together. They were playing golf one day, and the first one complained and said, you know, these fairways are a lot longer than they used to be. And the second one kind of moped and said, yeah, and these hills are a lot taller than I remember them ever being. The third one kind of lamented, yeah, and these sand traps are bigger than ever. The fourth one, the oldest one out of all of them, said, fellas, come on, at our age, let's just be thankful we're above the grass right now, right? You got to find something for which to give thanks. Now, as a follower of Christ, God wants you to be grateful, okay? God wants you to be thankful. And I've asked you to find 1 Thessalonians 5 today because Paul is in the midst of writing to some first century Christians, telling them that Christ is going to come back one day. And he kind of gave some instructions about that. And he said, that day's coming. But between this day and that day, he gives them some instructions for how to live, okay? So with that in mind, these are the instructions on how to live until Christ comes. Verse 14 starts off this way. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. You know, that's some good instruction for us. But he goes on and he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. It's a command. It's a command to be grateful. Now, from that, I take three things. Number one, that gratitude is a perspective. All right, when he says be grateful, the word grateful in Greek is our word eucharisto, okay? Eucharisto. It means to know that you are well graced. Gratitude is an idea, or this idea, this realization that you've been blessed by God. Gratitude flows from the reality that you have been blessed by God. Now, is that true or not? Come on, have you been blessed by God? I'm not asking you if you got everything in the world you've ever wanted, but can we say that if gratitude is a response or it's a realization that I've been blessed by God, then it's a perspective. No, everything in my life may not be just perfect, but I still have been blessed by God. There are some things for which I can give thanks. Gratitude is a perspective, okay? I'm blessed. Gratitude is a choice. When he commands give thanks, he doesn't say if you feel like it. By saying be thankful, by commanding you to be thankful, he knows that there are times when it's going to be easy for you to give thanks and you want to give thanks. But by commanding you to give thanks, he says give thanks even when you don't feel like it. It's not a matter of how you feel in a moment. As a matter of fact, gratitude may be the very thing you need to do in the moment you least feel like it. Okay? Be thankful. It's a choice. He gives a qualifier or a condition. He says, in everything. In everything, give thanks. Now, be real clear. He doesn't say for everything. You agree with that? I mean, you don't give thanks for everything that happened. You don't give thanks for the bad things going on. You don't give thanks for the drama around you. You don't give thanks for some of the conditions of things that we see around us. You don't thank God for that, but in that, in whatever it is that you're facing, you're not thankful for the drama, for the trauma, for the bad news, but in that, he says, give thanks. In everything, find a way to give thanks. I read this week, someone wrote, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the wife who says it's hot dogs tonight because she's at least home with me and not out with some other man. I'm thankful for the husband who's on the sofa being a couch potato because he's home with me and not out at the bar. I'm thankful for the teenager who's complaining about doing dishes because it means she's at home and not on the street. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the mess to clean up after a party because it means I've been surrounded by friends. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have enough to eat, in Jesus' name. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing and windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a place to live. I'm thankful for all the complaining I hear about the government because it means we still do have freedom of speech. I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. I'm thankful for the lady behind me in church who sings off key because it means I can still hear. I'm thankful for the pile of laundry and ironing because it means I've got clothes to wear. I'm thankful for the weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means God gave me the ability to still work hard. I'm thankful for the alarm clock that goes off in the early morning hours because it wakes me up and I'm still alive. There's always something to be thankful for. If you can't pay your bills, be thankful that you're not your creditor, right? Who's going broke because you can't pay the bill. Gratitude's a choice. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's a perspective. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's a choice. When I feel it, and even when I don't, in the midst of it, I'm still going to choose to give thanks, not for everything, but in everything. Come on. College students, gratitude's going to change your life. Not thankful for everything, but in everything. I have a reason to give thanks. Now, the third thing I want to say to you is that gratitude is God's will for you, according to this scripture. Right? In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you want to know God's will for your life, here it is. God wants you to have a heart filled with gratitude. It's his desire. It's his plan. It's what he wants. It's what Jesus modeled. Jesus modeled for us giving thanks. Before he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, we get captivated by the miracle and we miss the thing that made the miracle maybe even possible is that before he multiplied the bread, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, thank you. He didn't thank God the Father for what he didn't have. He thanked God the Father for what he did have. And when he thanked God for what he did have became enough to fulfill what he didn't have. Amen. Gratitude. Jesus modeled gratitude before he raised Lazarus from the grave. Jesus prayed a prayer, and the prayer was a prayer of gratitude. Move the stone. He stinks by now. Move the stone. And then he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, God, I thank you. Father, I thank you that you always hear me. And it was a spirit of gratitude that I think paved the way, as we're going to see, for the power of God to be released to him, to be able to say then to Lazarus, come on out. Okay? Jesus modeled for us gratitude. The night that he was arrested, right, betrayed, arrested, ultimately condemned to death, that night he was with his disciples in the upper room, and he had what we call communion, but some people call the elements the Eucharist, because it says in Matthew that when Jesus had the bread and the cup, he lifted up to heaven and he gave thanks, Eucharist. Eucharisto, the same word in 1 Thessalonians 5, he gave thanks. Jesus modeled for us. This is God's will. This is what God wants for you. It's what he wants from you, but it's what he wants for you to stop and recognize, I've been blessed. And so I'm choosing today to have a heart that says, thank you to God, because this is God's will for my life. It's what God has for you and for me. Everybody who is in Christ needs to have a grateful heart. It's the right response to God's grace. But here's what I want you to see today. When he says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, I want you to hear today that giving thanks opens your life up to blessing. Giving thanks opens your life up to blessing. I want you to see today, I got one point in my sermon, okay? The point of the sermon is God wants you to be grateful. Everybody here, God wants you to be grateful. But now here's the deal. I got 7 sub-points. All right? And under one of them, I got 7 sub-points under that. We're going to be here a long time today. I hope y'all ain't got nothing to do. Now, the point is, be grateful. And I want to give you 7 reasons to be thankful, okay? 7 reasons today that I think everybody in here, every man, woman, boy, or girl, ought to be grateful, all right? Number 1, gratitude blesses your life. When God says, this is my will for you, do you think God knows what he's talking about? All right, y'all may have got that at all the other campuses, but this campus didn't get that. Do you think God knows what he's talking about? Yes. Come on, yes. God knows exactly what he's talking about. And God's not saying to you, hey, I want you to be grateful just for his sake. I think God is saying to you, I want you to be thankful for your sake. Hey, look, this isn't for me. God's good without us. Being grateful is good for you. He made you. He knows how you work best. And so he says, be grateful. Gratitude, if you'll be grateful, it will unlock some blessings in your life. Now listen, we don't need to be fearful of science and research and all those things. All those things are instruments of God by which we can explore the goodness of God. There are some things we don't understand and can't fully explain, but so much of what we do learn just confirms what God says. Now, can I just say to you, psychologists are discovering the power of gratitude. Okay, not Christian psychologists. I'm talking about psychologists, psychiatrists and psychologists across the span are discovering the power of gratitude for our lives. There was an article in 2015 in Psychology Today that was kind of a compilation of multiple studies about gratitude, and they boiled down and said, gratitude's good for you for 7 things, okay? This is what happens in your life whenever you have a grateful heart. This isn't the Bible saying, this is what our research is showing us happens to us as human beings. It makes your relationships better. Whenever you have gratitude, it makes your relationships better. Whether it's just saying thank you to somebody for holding the door, thank you for somebody for packing your groceries or doing whatever, whenever you meet somebody and whenever you're encountering them and you say thank you, it makes them positively predisposed toward you to have an open relationship with you, okay? They want to have a better relationship with you just because you have a grateful spirit. At the same time, couples who find things to appreciate about each other on a regular basis are happier and have a better chance of seeing their marriage both flourish and last. How many of y'all know, if you've been married for a little while, how many of y'all know the person you're married to can get on your nerves? And if you let them get on your nerves long enough, you'll start to resent everything about them. And you think there isn't anything good about them. And you wonder how you could have been so stupid as to marry that person. I'm just telling you, there are some of you, you've walked this road. And what psychiatrists are telling us, what people who study the way we work are telling us is, you got to learn how to be thankful, find something about that person for which to give thanks. God, he's a regular breather, just every day, in and out. He's so faithful to breathe. Start small, okay? Start small. But they're showing us your relationships are better if you learn how to just say, I'm thankful for her for this. You know what? I'm thankful. There are lots of things I could be mad about, but I'm thankful for these things. It makes your relationships better. It improves your physical health. People who are grateful experience fewer aches and pains, according to a 2012 report. Next time you see somebody who's whining about how they feel, just say, shut up and give thanks. Right? It'll help you. It'll help your health. Gratitude improves your psychological health. It reduces a multitude of toxic emotions from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. Robert Emmons, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being, and his research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and reduces depression. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Now, we need to hear this in the world today, particularly in America today. Gratitude makes us get along better. It reduces aggression. Grateful people, according to a 2012 study, are more likely to behave in a pro-social manner even when other people are not kind. If you have a lot for which to be thankful, then you can put up with people who are not being real smart right now or who don't agree with you right now. Gratitude may be part of the antidote to what we need. Gratitude helps people sleep better. Writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep, according to a 2011 study. Just spend 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. It's good for you to get a good night's sleep. It improves your self-esteem. A 2014 study shows that athlete self-esteem, an essential component to optimal performance, is increased with gratitude. Gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful toward people who have more money or better jobs, a major factor in reduced self-esteem, grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. You feel better about you when you're grateful. And gratitude increases your mental strength. For years, research has shown that gratitude not only reduces stress, but it also plays a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study of Vietnam War veterans showed that those vets with a higher level of gratitude showed a lower incidence of PTSD. Following the 2011 bombing, it shows that gratitude was a major contributor to the resilience of people. Recognizing all that you have to be thankful for, even during the worst of times, fosters resilience. Now look, all of those are what the world is saying are good reasons to give thanks. God's just saying it opens up blessings. It's my will. I know how you work. Give thanks. It unleashes a lot of things in you emotionally, relationally, mentally. Give thanks, okay? It opens up blessings. Number two, gratitude keeps you focused on God. Gratitude keeps you focused on God. And staying focused on God combats two very deadly mindsets. One mindset that it combats when you're focused on God, that combats the mindset of pride. When you forget God, you somehow start to think that everything you had comes from you. You worked hard, you earned it, you deserve it. And if you're not careful, a sense of entitlement can begin to creep in. Now, I want to remind you that in Moses' day, he had to remind the people of his day, hey, listen, God's the one who gave us the promised land. God brought us out of Egypt, and he brought us into this place, and God has given you everything here. Even, Moses said, even your ability to make wealth comes from God. Okay? Now, in the New Testament, James says in James 1:17, he says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. Can I just talk to some people who you're very blessed? Okay? You're very, very blessed. You're winning. When was the last time you honestly got on your knees and looked up to heaven outside of church and just said, God, thank you. Thank you. You let me be born here. You let me have my upbringing. You gave me my mind. You gave me my capacity. God, you've given me the connections and the breaks. God, thank you. Thank you. Gratitude keeps you from being prideful, and God's opposed to the proud. We've learned that over the last few weeks. But it also equally keeps you from another dangerous mindset, which is hopelessness. Because let's say you feel like you're losing, and things are not good and not going well for you, and it seems like everything's unraveling or falling apart, and you can feel like there's just no hope. Because your eyesight is on all this stuff. And what gratitude does is it gets your eyes on God and it gives you hope. In the midst of whatever you're in, focus on God. He's your helper, Psalm 46:1. He's near to you, Psalm 34:18. Jesus is praying for you, Hebrews 7:25. Eternity is waiting and it's better, 2 Corinthians 4:17. God is using whatever you're in right now to make you more like Christ, Romans 8:28 and 29. Don't just stop at 28. God has set his affection on you, and he is predestined to make you to be like Christ. God loves you, Romans 8:35. He hears you, Psalm 34:15. He's with you, Isaiah 43:2. God is in control, Isaiah 46:9 and 10. No matter how bad it is, you find something for which to give thanks. This builds hope. Put your eyes on God. My team lost last night. I can say it. We lost. But I'm not bitter. There's a lot for which to give thanks. We don't have to play them again. Our quarterback, as far as I know, is not hurt. I was not at the game. I was actually at home, so I could turn it off and go to bed. I don't live in Alabama, and I'm not from Alabama. A lot to give thanks for in my life. God is so good, right? No matter what you're going through, gratitude, listen, gratitude helps you to focus on God and lets you let go of stuff that may cause you a lot of heartache if you don't. Gratitude keeps you focused on God. Thirdly, gratitude helps you find contentment. There's a region of Mexico, I've never been there, but I've read about it, where God has designed the planet to bubble up both right beside each other, a hot spring and a cold spring side by side. And people go there to see this, and a visitor was there observing this natural phenomenon, this hot spring and this cold spring side by side. And as the visitor was there, was watching some of the locals come to wash their clothes in the hot, rinse them out in the cold. And he looked at his guide, his Mexican guide, and said, man, these locals must give thanks to Mother Nature for being so gracious to supply all this hot and cold water side by side. And the guide said, no, senor, only complaining because she doesn't also provide the soap. Now, how American is that? We can't give thanks for all the abundant goodness for complaining about the few things that we don't have. And for many of us, we lack contentment. We've got so much, and yet what we think we need is something more. Princeton University did a study some years ago and asked, what level of household income does it take in order to make people happy? They used a Gallup research information, roughly 500,000 Americans, and they discovered that the comfortable income standard for happiness in the United States is somewhere around $75,000. In other words, a household income that is above $75,000, once it goes past that, there's no correlation to more money, more happiness. You think what you want is more, but it doesn't translate into happiness because what you find is you just need a little more and a little more. They say at $75,000 is the place where most people could say, I can be happy. But can I just say, I appreciate Princeton, but I've traveled a little bit and I've seen people happy with a lot less. Go to the Mississippi Delta or go downtown to an inner city in some major area of the United States, or go to Mexico, or go to somewhere in Central or Latin or South America, go to Africa, and you see people who live in stuff that you would put your pets in, who wear clothes that we gave away, who play with toys like a stick and an old tire, who eat the same meal 3 times a day every day. And yet you meet them and they exude joy. They're happy. And what God, I think, is saying to you and to me is, don't think that stuff is ultimately going to make you happy or contented. Be contented right where you are with what you have, and you'll be surprised at how that brings blessing in your life. Duke theologian Will Willimon said, our problem as humans is not that we are full of desire, aflame with unfulfillment. Our problem is that we long for that which is unfulfilling. We attempt to be content with that which can never satisfy. What we want is power and status. And alas, we find that no matter what we've acquired, there is also someone else to envy. Gratitude, thanking God for what I have, brings contentment. Paul said this in Philippians 4:11, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means, in other words, to be broke. And I know how to live in prosperity, in other words, to be flush, to be full. In every circumstance, any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both in having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. In other words, it's not what I have or don't have. It's Christ. When I have Christ and I'm grateful to Him, I can survive any circumstance. Contentment. Gratitude brings contentment. Number four, gratitude attracts the presence of God. It attracts the presence of God. We're going to look at this in a couple of weeks, Psalm 100. We're going to look at the whole psalm. It's a psalm you may know, but there's a verse in Psalm 100 that talks about God's presence and how we get there. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter His gates with, everybody say that word, with what? Enter His gate with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. When you come to God's presence, you want to go to God's house? You want to get close to God? You want to be near to God. You want God's presence. God says, here's the way you get to my house. You got to come through the gate, and the gate is thanksgiving. The door is Jesus, but the gate is thanksgiving. God loves it when you give thanks. It's the gateway to His house. I think about how God responds to thanksgiving and praise. And I think about a story in the New Testament. Paul and Silas, two guys who were missionary preachers, and they were thrown in prison, Acts 16. It was unjust. It was unfair. It was uncalled for. They had been brutally beaten. And yet here they are about midnight in this prison, shackled. And what are they doing? They are not grumbling and complaining. You know what the Bible says? Come on, somebody in Sunday school knows what happened. They are lifting up praise to God. And what happens when they're lifting up their praise and thanksgiving to God? God draws near. God shows up. The whole place shakes. An earthquake comes. The prison doors swing open. Chains fall off. God loves it when you are grateful. And your chains fall off, doors open up when you learn to give thanks, even when you don't feel like it. It is the gateway to the presence of God. And God knows when you're giving thanks. Don't think He does not know. Little old me, He don't even think about me. No, He does. Luke 17, Jesus saw 10 guys who had leprosy, a dreaded disease. They wanted to be healed. He said, go show yourself to the priest. You'll be healed. They're on their way. They get healed. Remember this? 9 of my brothers keep on rolling. Never looked back. Never came back. They wanted the blessing, but they didn't thank the blesser. One guy comes back. Falls at the feet of Jesus and says, I cannot say thank you enough. You made me well. And Jesus, while appreciative of this one guy, does ask a question. He says in Luke 17:17, weren't there 10 of you? Were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Can I just say to you, God is fully aware of your gratitude or your ingratitude, no matter where you are in life. I don't know about you, but I'm inclined to help people again if once helped, they give thanks. Come on, you feel me? You help somebody out. And they come back and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Would you help them again? Probably. Let's say you help somebody out. You bless them. But they don't come back and say thanks. They just roll on and act like you didn't do anything. You gonna help them again? Maybe. But a lot of us would say, man, I ain't doing that. Now, thank God He's not like us, okay? But don't think that God doesn't notice. God loves it whenever we give thanks. His presence is drawn to that. Number five, right? Gratitude. At the same time that gratitude attracts God, gratitude makes the devil flee. Now remember, I got one point. My point is, God wants you to be grateful. But there are so many things that happen when you're grateful. Blessings open up, man. It keeps your mindset right. You get contentment. God draws near, and the devil has to flee. Giving thanks to God may be one of the most powerful spiritual weapons in your warfare tank. It has the potential to bring great spiritual breakthrough in the middle of anything you're facing. Thanksgiving increases faith And faith always leads to breakthrough. John Piper says, there is a song that Satan and his sympathizers cannot tolerate or approach, namely the song of thanksgiving to God. Now think about that. If God is attracted to thanksgiving and Satan is repelled by thanksgiving, if you find yourself under attack, if you find the darkness closing in, if you find temptation is very powerful, what should you do? Give thanks. Give thanks. The forces of darkness can't linger around the heart that is drawing near to God in gratitude with praise and thanksgiving. James 4:7 is your verse. Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So if you're struggling, turn gratitude into a weapon. Drive the enemy away by giving thanks to God. Number 6, gratitude strengthens your prayer life. It strengthens your prayer life. We've already seen it, I think, in the life of Jesus. That before the miracle of multiplication, there was a giving of thanks for what I already have. Before the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, there was thanksgiving to the Father because he always hears. That thanksgiving is like the wings of your prayer life. They lift your prayers to God, okay? They lift your prayers up to God. Right before Paul says, give thanks in everything, he says, pray without ceasing. These two things go together. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Paul says, look, God wants to hear your request, but part of what opens the gateway, part of what gives your prayers wings, part of what brings the presence of God is that there's gratitude in your heart before you ask. For too many of us, our prayers have turned into a list of complaints of all the things we want God to fix. But thanksgiving gets us into God's presence and actually builds faith. God, you've been so faithful. God, you've been so good. God, I can count on you. And because I can count on you, God, you hadn't let me down yet. God, I know you can handle this. Thanksgiving, gratitude will strengthen your prayer life. And finally, gratitude brings peace. Gratitude brings peace. Think about it. Whenever you're emotionally, intellectually, mentally, relationally experiencing the blessings of gratitude, when your mind's on God and you're not prideful and God's opposed to you and you're not hopeless because you know God's there for you, when you're living from a place of contentment, when you know that God's drawing near, when you know that the enemy is kept at bay, when you know your prayers are being heard, it leads to peace. Peace. In anything, peace. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, the verse we just read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look at the result. When you do that, the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God today wants to give you peace. But the pathway to peace is the gateway of gratitude. God, I'm thankful. So here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for us to close our time today just spending a few minutes thanking God. Can we do that? Just every campus across all of our campuses right now, if you're watching online, would you just bow your head with me? And I want you just to posture your heart, your attitude toward God. And the Bible says to enter his courts with thanksgiving and enter his gates with praise. So could you just for a second, I want to ask you, would you just thank God for spiritual blessings right now? And by spiritual blessings, I mean the things that God has done for you spiritually. Forgiveness, grace, mercy, those kind of things. Would you just thank God for 3 or 4 spiritual blessings? There are some that are very, very obvious. And he loves us. He forgives us. But the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1, it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies is yours because of Jesus. because of God. Would you thank him for spiritual freedom and power, for the hope of heaven, that you're made a child of God, an heir of heaven? Can we just thank God? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you are and who you are and what you've done for me. Would you thank him for his material, physical blessings? Just we used to sing a song, Count Your Blessings. Could you thank God right now for just some simple things? Just sound like a first grader, okay? Could everybody just pray like a first grader right now? Childlike wonder. House and bed and health and a car and tires on the car and air conditioner in the car for food in our house. Soft bed and a pillow and a blanket. You get it. It's your breath in my lungs. It's your breath in my lungs. God, you've given me life. Could we just for a moment, not because it's Thanksgiving, but because it's right, could we just give thanks for people in our life? I want you to think specifically of 3 or 4 or 5 people in your life right now that have blessed you or are a blessing to you, and I want you to thank God for them right now. Mention them by name to God. Thank God for them. Pray for them. Thank him for the time that he lets you have with them. Time's precious. I want to ask you to ask God just for a moment. Would you say, God, would you show me how I can today, before I go to bed, God, show me how I can communicate to those 4 or 5 people, whoever it was, that I'm thankful for. How would God want you to express that? Anything from take them to lunch right after church, to send them a text, to go visit them, to give them a phone call, send them a note, write them an email, drop off a gift at their door. How would God want you to communicate, I'm just thankful for what you mean in my life? Gratitude's a good thing. It's a God thing, and it's a good thing. And I don't know what, out of all the things said about God wanting us to be grateful, out of all those things that were mentioned, I don't know what 1 or 2 things landed in your spirit, but probably 1 or 2 did. Would you just receive that right now? One of the things that touches my heart is this. That God has blessed us. He has graced us. And if you've never received the grace of Jesus to forgive your sins and to go from death to life, from hopelessness to hope, would you right now just say, wherever you are, just say, God, I know I'm a wreck and a mess without you and I'm dead, and Jesus is my only hope. Forgive me of my sins through him. I receive you into my life and I give you my life back. Would you just pray that? It's his will for you in Christ Jesus. Second thing I want us to kind of wrap our hearts around is this, that when we're grateful, it's the gateway to God's presence. And listen, where God's presence is, everything changes. and anything's possible. So I want to just speak of my faith family right now. Listen, in just a second, we're going to sing a song of praise to God that we count on His promises. He is worthy of our gratitude and our faith. But while we're doing that, the presence of God is here. And so any one of you, no matter how old you are or young you are, no matter what condition you're in, if it has nothing to do with anything we've talked about today, if you need God to touch you or your life in some way, in just a minute, when we stand up to sing this song, I'm going to ask you to step out, go find one of the ministers who are down at the front or around your room, and just say, pray with me. Pray with me about, and you tell them what you want to pray about, because here's the deal. Where God's presence is, where gratitude is, prayers get answered. And I believe God wants to answer your prayers and show Himself strong for you today. So would you do it? While we sing, you come. Father, we love you, and we bless you, and we praise you, and we ask you to make us a grateful people. And God, as we declare your goodness and your grace, and God, as we declare our faith and praise to you, Jesus, by your Spirit, come and hear our prayers. Heal us, change us for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.